I like to take in the smiles. Good morning, everyone. Did everyone get two white cards like this morning? Is there anyone that did not get these two white cards? Okay, Ricky, could you help me up here? And bring them bookmarks, probably. Is there anyone that hasn't received an anointing brochure yet? Okay, good. Well, we got one here. We have a couple of brochures. We'll get the brochures over here. Want to make sure you have these materials. Thank you, Linda. Keep your hands up. When we have downtime like this, this is a really good time for those who already have their cards and their bookmarks to just continue to silently pray for God's plan and His purpose for us today. Take every opportunity you can in your day when it seems like there's nothing going on. That is a perfect opportunity to bring Jesus ever closer to you. Place. I am in a complete agreement with what you just heard this morning. As I was walking through the sanctuary this morning, I could just sense God's presence. And I walked out the door here and off to the hillside, and I stood there and I wept. I weep sometimes when I just truly sense God's presence and His plan and His purpose with us. And I am totally in agreement. God is moving on this mountain. He has put something into motion as a result of your love and your heart cries, your desire for Him. And so I just look forward to seeing what He is about to do. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. Before we have our opening prayer and song, I would like to ask you a question. When you're with a group of people, or you're in your church, or you're in your home, or in work, wherever it might be, who is that one person that whenever they walk into that room where you are, gets your ire up? Ah, see, I love that question. Because someone came to mind. That's who we're going to pray for today. Shall we stand for our opening prayer? Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and for the presence of your Holy Spirit with us here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't want to forget the names that people have submitted to be lifted up each day in prayer. So again, I would like for us this morning to gather in groups of two with your cards. And if you haven't done this before, one person prays, then the other person prays for their first name, and just back and forth. If you have difficulty praying out loud, you can just silently pray and then just indicate to your partner when it's their time to pray. When your group has finished praying, please remember that we are in a house of prayer. We are in a place of prayer. So just silently lift your own heart cries until everyone has had an opportunity to pray for all the souls that have been presented before our Lord this morning. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, what a melody it is to hear the prayers being lifted up before you. But what greater is the joy knowing, dear Father, that you have an answer for each and every one, that you have a plan for each and every one of us. So we pray, dear Lord, that you would be with us today. Anoint our eyes that we might see. Clothe us in the garment of your righteousness. And Father, as the flames burn around us, refine us, dear Lord, that we may grow in love and faith, not only for you, dear Father, but for one another is our prayer. In Jesus' name. As Larry was explaining to you, an anointing service is not only for someone who is in dire illness or in a dire condition. There are examples in Scripture of anointing services or anointing for the healing of the sick, physically, mentally, and spiritually. But there's also examples in Scripture where anointing is done in dedication to service. And that's what happened to me and over 60 other members in the body of Christ that I told you about, I think it was yesterday, when Derek Morris asked if he could anoint me. And so, even if you don't want anointing or don't need anointing, we need you here. Tomorrow is the Sabbath. But to come together in a unified voice, in a unified spirit, to, as if you are not going to be anointed, please be here. You can be praying for the spirit that is falling in this place. You can be praying for the spirit that will go with us when we leave this place. We're told that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, if not now, when? Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. When you invite God, He shows up. And I am just so full of joy, so thankful to our Lord that I was invited to be here at this camp meeting this year, because I am just so humbled, because I get to see this. I get to be a part of this. I get to witness this. And as my friend in Colorado, Jim Moon, the prayer coordinator from Colorado, there are people praying all over this country now for these camp meetings. But as Jim told me, and you're going to come back with a new story. I just love telling the stories of what God has done in my life. And that's what God wants all of us to be able to do. Scripture tells us that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Someone told me earlier this week that you can argue and you can debate doctrine, but you can't argue your testimony. No one can argue against your testimony. And so I have one more testimony this morning. And this one kind of ties in some of the loose ends, because I told you that with the circumstances of how my mother got ill, that it just devastated me. And it devastated me for more than one reason. One reason was that what it did to my mother, what I saw had happened to my mother. But the other reason that I was devastated was because what it did to me and my relationship to my sister. Until that day, for my entire life, my sister and I were like this. Second to my mother, my sister was my most trusted person, the person I could turn to about anything. So when this happened, this whole circumstance, I was devastated. And because of the circumstances, I could barely even talk to my sister without getting sick to my stomach. I couldn't call her. I couldn't be with her. I couldn't see her. I loved her. I prayed for her. In my heart, I couldn't forgive her. And I remember telling my pastor this, and he said, well, you have to forgive her. It will eat you alive. And all I kept coming back with, but doesn't she have to ask for it first? And he said, no, you have got to forgive her. And I said, but even God needs us to ask first. And I could never... I'm going to have to study this. Because it took me so long to realize that that's for salvation that he's talking about. But to just... Even Christ, when they didn't ask, said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. There, the Lord just told me. Thank you, Jesus. And so I would try to talk to my sister. And my sister, I would be on the phone with her. And she asked me, she said, Mike, what's it going to take for us to be what we were before? And I said, I don't know if we can ever be what we were before. And she said, but what will it take for us to at least be able to tolerate each other's presence? And I said, I guess the answer to that is it will take an epiphany. And she said, what kind? And I said, either an epiphany for you to learn something that you don't know that can take us to the next step, or an epiphany for me to learn something that I don't know that will help us go to the next step. And my sister said, well, I'll be praying that you get that epiphany. And I said, oh, but it has to be a prayer where we're willing to acknowledge the fact that it might be us, it might be me, that needs that epiphany. And so I promised her that that would be my prayer. That if I was the one that needed that epiphany, that I wanted it. And if both of us needed it, I wanted it. But I wasn't going to force it to be on her. I wanted it however it needed to be done. And I was at another West Point of evangelism. And Jonathan Henderson was there. And he was speaking to us one morning. And he asked us that morning to, after his presentation, he said, I would like for you to walk out and just have a conversation with God. And I want you to ask God to just tell you something. I love that kind of request. And so I went out and I was talking to the Lord, and I'm just saying, Father, tell me something. And he put in my heart, I came back like my feet this far off the ground. He put in my heart, he said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to anoint your sister. And I'm like, wow. Because not only was there pain and suffering in my sister's life, from the circumstances that was in the dynamic of our family, but she suffered severely at this time, a traumatic, devastating case of bipolarism. And whenever I did see her, I've never seen her in such deep state of depression. And so I just was so happy when I went back to the prayer group. I was telling all my friends that I was going to get the opportunity. I knew I was going to get to anoint my sister. And so later on that year, I had to go back to Indiana because my family was having a one-year memorial for my other sister that I had lost. And I promised to go back for that. And so when I went back for that, I have two sisters that are still alive there. One of them is the one I'm talking about. Her name is Nettie Jo. The other one is my sister Jean. And Jean was pretty much helping my sister Nettie Jo at the time. And I told her about anointing. She's a Christian. She's not an Adventist. I told her about the anointing service and James 5, and I told her I'd like to anoint Nettie Jo. And since she was so close to Nettie Jo, I presumed that she would help kind of navigate that it's happening. But in all the time I was there, it never happened. And I went back to Los Angeles. And then I was asked to speak on 3ABN, which some of you have seen. And I had to go back to Illinois, so instead of going to Illinois, I flew back to Indiana. And I drove my sister's car over to Illinois. And I took a couple of anointing brochures with me this time. And I tried to arrange to see my sister through my other sister, Jean, and it just wasn't happening. And by this time, my sister, Nettie Jo, had suffered a condition that had put her in rehab because she couldn't eat and she just couldn't take care of herself. And she was on the verge of losing her home if she could not get out of rehab. And she had been there for months by this time. And I wasn't able to negotiate this meeting with my sister. And I just knelt down and prayed. And I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he just put in my heart, he said, you don't need your other sister. You need to do this. And so I found out where my other sister was in rehab, and I drove to see her. And when I walked into the room, my sister was asleep on her bed. And I couldn't believe how bad she looked. And I walked over, and while she was sleeping, I just sat down in a chair and sat there quietly and prayed for her. And then within about a half an hour, she woke up and she looked over and saw me, and this big smile came on her face. And I sat there and just talked general conversation, awkward, uncomfortable as I was. And then I asked her, she's asking me about what I was doing for the Lord because she knew I was very active in the ministry. And so I was talking to her. And I said, and I wanted to talk to you about that. And she said, sure. And I said, Scripture tells us. And I took this brochure and I read to her the James 5 quote. And I asked her, I said, would you permit me to anoint you? And she said, yes, please. And I walked over. And she goes, how's this done? And I explained it to her. I sat on the edge of her bed. And I talked to her a little bit and had prayer with her. And then I anointed her. I thought I was anointing her for her healing. But in that very moment, there was a hole I didn't know existed in my heart that God healed. And from that day forward, I have the most pleasant relationship with my sister. And I love to talk to her. And I went back to my other sister's home. I was staying with my brother-in-law, her widow. I was staying at his house. So I went back to his home, and my other sister, Jean, called me the next day, and she goes, "You're not going to guess where I'm at." And I said, "Where?" And she goes, "I'm here with Nettie." And she said, "And you're not going to guess what she's doing." And I said, "What?" And she goes, "Well, she's sitting up in bed, and she's eating, and she's got all this energy." And within a week, my sister was discharged from that facility. And then I was told later that my sister Jean had taken, when my sister had recovered enough, she took my sister Nettie Jo out shopping. And as she was taking her back home, she said, "Nettie Jo, there's a place I want to take you before I take you home." And she goes, "Okay, where is it?" And she goes, "I want to surprise you." And she went back to that facility where my sister had been staying. And my sister got out of that car without a walker and walked into that facility. And the people in that facility come running out and saw her and hugged her and were just weeping. And they confided in my other sister that when you told my other sister that when your sister was here, we knew she was here to die. And one of them said, "This is the best thing that's happened to me all week." And another one said, "This is the best thing that's happened to me all year." And so that was just the most amazing testimony of anointing that I have ever witnessed. And it was one that not only brought healing to my heart, to her, but it brought healing to my heart. And it brings us to our prayer point today. Who is that person that when they walk in that room gets your ire up? I would like for you to take those two white cards out. And on the one card, it looks like three little houses and three lines next to them. Who is the person on the first line? That's a church. Who is the person in the church that you have the most difficulty with? Do not write their name on that line. I don't want you dropping that card and that person walking behind you. But there's another reason not to write that name on that card. If you start praying for these people, their names will fall off the list. This is the one card you don't get the right names on, because the names will constantly change until you're realizing they're much easier to pray for and there are a lot less problems in your life. Because this is one of the biggest causes right here. The fact that you haven't put these names in your prayers. These are the biggest causes of your problems and the problems in our church. Christ said, "I pray that they might be one, that the world might see that you sent me and that you love them as you have loved me." How can we be one when even we have an excuse we don't allow ourselves to pray? And so if you don't know how to pray for that person, I gave an example on the other card. You can just pray a blessing, because Scripture says, "Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you." A couple examples. May God's full expectation be fulfilled for Nettie Jo in Nettie Jo's lifetime. May God grant all His intention for Nettie Jo. That's all you have to pray. And we're told in Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If any people understand the sealing of God, it's us. And it goes on to say, get rid of all bitterness. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We are begging, we are pleading, we are yearning for the latter rain, for the falling of the Holy Spirit on us. And I know that Spirit is going to rain upon us. But we have the ability to impact the weather. If we surrender our anger, if we forgive, if we allow God not only to clothe us in the garment of Christ's righteousness, but if we're willing to pray that Christ will clothe our enemy in the garment of His righteousness, that Spirit will fall. And so I want you to take these cards with you today. I want you to go into your prayer closet today and ask the Lord to reveal to you who it is you need to forgive. And if you need to contact them, by all means do. If you can't, God will understand and you can contact them later. But we want that Spirit. We want God to fill us. But in order to do that, we have to empty ourselves of all these petty, ridiculously small, insignificant problems that cause such a great split, separation between God and us. Let's sing our closing hymn.
As one who's been forgiven. your